नमः नमः भद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पते नमः. युद्ध कांड चैप्टर नंबर 119. सीता पैसेस थ्रू फायर. द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. Raghunandana expressed himself thus stingingly or mordantly and harshly enough to make the hairs of the heaven bristle up. Sita was plunged in boundless grief. He who spoke thus was her beloved husband, bound to protect her in every way, loving and dear to her even as her very life. Till that moment he had never spoken to her without a smile or a look of intense love. He had never spoken a harsh word to her. The parents and brothers of Rama treated her even more affectionately than they did her own husband. Her father, the ruler of Mithila, had brought her up with infinite love and delicacy, having been given to him by providence after long years of barrenness. She never knew even a shadow of another man beside her husband. And here she was brought before millions and millions of monkeys and rakshasas gathered on the battlefield. Words of her husband and their ruler pierced her heart and put disgrace upon her before their very eyes, the cruel words and their cruelest suspicion. Shame gripped her heart, her form shrunk within itself. Her head was bowed with grief. Her heart was broken with an unheard of calumny, and she stood there for a while as if demented, while burning tears rushed from her bleary eyes. Then she wiped her eyes and struggled hard with heavy sorrow to express herself briefly and to the point. Lord, do these words become you? Am I to have my ears pained with them? They are very harsh and spiteful to hear. You have clean forgot your noble lineage, scintillating fame and immaculate character. You have likewise no thought of my lineage, the manner of my coming into this world, my stainless fame and name, and my unsullied life. But you have uttered words that befit more a nameless and homeless vagrant speaking to some nameless and homeless woman. You pass in the world as a prince of heroes. Now is this worthy of you? I am not in the least guilty of what you seem to think of. O great soul, I swear by the merit I have earned till now. Believe me, your heart is darkened with the suspicion that womankind are one and all of the same type and tarred with the same brush as some low common woman that you might have come across. Had you known me well and truly, you would not have acted thus. You said that Ravana bore me away. True, but remember that I am a woman, a lonely woman, a helpless woman, and he a Rakshasa of boundless strength, cruel, armed, and attended. What then could I do? My body was in the power of others. What could I do, deprived of my freedom? But my heart is mine, and it twines itself around your feet, now as well as then and forever. We have been brought up together since our childhood. We never knew what it was to be away from each other. And this is quite enough to give you clear insight into my nature. Well, if all this goes for nothing, of what avail is any proof that I can ever bring forward? I have nowhere to go. Some time ago you sent Hanuman to know where I was and how I fared. The moment you heard that I was in the house of Ravana, you could have cast me away. Why didn't you do so? Or if Hanuman had ever given me the slightest hint of your intentions, the next moment my life would have left this wretched body before his very eyes. Remember, I am the wife of a hero and a warrior. Had I done so, you and your friends would have been saved all this trouble. Victory in battle or death is not the lot of one side alone. There was no call for the dreadful battle with these Rakshasas at the peril of your life. Are you not the bravest and the best of men? You gave way to anger, and like a low and despicable man, you spoke to me as if I were an ordinary woman. You brushed aside all other considerations. You came into this world as all others through a man and woman. Am I such a one? I pass as the daughter of King Janaka, but was I ever in a womb? Have you heard that I came from the womb of the earth? You have in you a boundless power of reading easily and keenly the life and heart of men. Then what prevented you from reading my life and conduct? You were a mere boy when you clasped my hand in wedlock, and I too was a mere girl. And now you have called into question the promise I made to you then. You have clean forgot my devotion to you, the purity of my life, and all that made me dear to you. Thus did she entreat Raghava, her hot tears choking her words. Then she beheld Lakshmana standing by with a wry face, dazed with anxiety and at a loss what to do. And she said, Lakshmana, I know well your boundless affection and devotion to your mother Sumitra. Do you remember her last words to you as we were leaving Ayodhya? Hold Rama as your father, Dashrata. You have made them good day and night, loyally. Now it is for you to make good another injunction of your mother. Hold the daughter of Janaka as your mother, as myself. She said so, didn't she? You will not fail her, nor will you now fail me. Now I stand before you in her place. I see no other remedy for my sufferings. I alone should end them. Please build up a pile of logs, set fire to it. My very husband has made me an object of scorn, and that most unjustly. I shall have nothing to do with his body, even for a second. He has cast suspicion on my conduct. My goodness of heart and life have failed to please him any more. He has put me away in the very presence of these counselors, monkeys, and rakshasas. I have nowhere to lay my head except the blazing couch of fire. Lakshmana, stricken to the heart, glanced at the face of Rama for orders. He was always ready by nature and valiant enough to annihilate those who dreamt of evil to Lady Sita. But what could he do when his brother Rama himself tortured her so? Against whom could he direct his anger? Janaki was a mother unto him, ordered him to build a pyre, yet he questioned Rama out of the corner of his eyes for his orders. He read the consent by many a sign and hint, and hastened to obey Sita. Then Janaki went round Rama reverently and slowly, as he stood there with downcast look, as she drew near the fire blazing aloft as if in angry protest. He hung his head in utter shame. I call upon her to give me proof of her innocence without any reason for my suspecting spotless loyalty and devotion. This thought would come upon him should he lift his eyes to the face of Sita. Enough that I have been away from her arms so long. If she were alive, I can at least have the consolation of having a distant view of her. I can at least have the solace of her being well and happy. He could never bring himself to see her die. That is why he dared not hold up his head. On the other hand, Sita walked slowly. He may not look at me, yet enough for me to be by his side. Let me have as much of his company as possible by my delay. Or she might have said to herself, Rama is a soul of compassion and the seeker of the good of all beings. He radiates joy and happiness all around. He is famed as a dispeller of woe and grief. Maybe he is testing my devotion and firmness. Very soon will he treat me with his accustomed kindness and love. It is a huge mistake to precipitate matters and throw away my life. Or, Lakshmana, Hanuman and Vibhishan, dear unto Rama, know my heart and life as keenly as my Lord himself, and they would not put up with this injustice. They will argue him out of his ill-considered decision. Let me wait a while. Mentally, she saluted in reverence the gods, the brahmanas, and spoke with folded hands. O Lord of Fire, you are the eternal witness of the good and evil to all beings. If it is true that my heart never enshrined any other but Rama, even for a second, at any time or in any place or under any circumstances, guard me in every way. If it is true that Raghava holds me guilty, me that I am utterly innocent and loyal, guard me in every way then, thou eternal witness of all the worlds. If it is true that my heart ever seeks in word, deed, and thought, Raghava, the knower of all dharma, and Raghava alone as sole refuge, then guard me in every way. If it is true that I am known as clean and noble of life to the sun, the moon, the wind, the fire, the day and the night, the twilights, the earth, and everything thereon, guard me in every way, thou witness to all the world. She paced around the fire in reverence, cast away all attachment to her body, and entered the fire. All there were struck with terror and stood dazed, trembling, not knowing what to do. The daughter of King Janaka, lovely and radiant as molten gold, adorned with the choicest ornaments and garments, entered the blazing fire that pierced the heavens before the very eyes of all. The three worlds beheld her entering the fire, even as the offering of ghee, known as a vasodhara, in a holy sacrifice. The women screamed and shrieked, ha, ha, alas! It tortured the hearts of all the devas, gandharvas, dhanavas, siddhas, sadhyas, and the hosts of the three worlds to see the lady Janaki cast her life away into the fire, but she was born to enjoy everything that the worlds could offer. Verily, it was as if a goddess of the heavenly world was hurled down by a curse to the depths of hell. The rakshasas and the monkeys filled the air with excited cries of horror and protest. Mangalam Koshalendraya Mahaniya Gunabdi Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.